All right, who's kicking us off today? Happy Monday, by the way.
I'll start.
Who's this?
This is Tom.
Oh, hey, Tom.
So
there for a second. Yeah.
I got a new phone because I washed my other one.
Nice.
It was in the back pocket of my climbing pants, and I threw everything in the wash.
Yep.
And I woke up this morning, and it was like, oh, crap. Yeah, so I've been spending all day trying to do all that, so I didn't really get a lot done today.
Yeah, that's a process, too. What's the update?
Yeah, so, well, the numbers that I was talking about with my Section 8 renter, $750 a month and everything else, and it was going to be a 14 cap, is actually more like an 11.2 cap because my inexperience showing, I didn't ask him if he's getting $750 or whether, you know, if he pays any of the utilities, et cetera. And he does. What he does is he gets $600 from
utilities, et cetera.
He gets $600 from Section 8, and Section 8 cuts a check to the tenant for $150 for the various utility bills, whatever they are. I think it was water and electricity, or water and gas, or whatever. So he gets
okay.
$600. So he clears $600.
Okay.
So the deal just got substantially less attractive.
Well, let's run some numbers here. So it rents at $750, but the tenant, the owner's only going to see $600 of that, right?
Right.
Hang
it comes
on
out to 11.2 cap rate.
$600. Times, what's the all-in price?
45.
If I were to buy it, what is it?
45,000.
Okay.
11.2.
Hang on. Okay, so if I take 600 net, that's or the gross. Okay.
Yep.
Utilities are covered. We always take 10% for property management. I like to take 30. On this one, when you're telling the story, take out 20. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, you know, here's the thing. Net rents on it are 600. Let's take off 20%. 10 of that's for property management and another 10% for vacancy, this and that, the other. This one has the long-term tenant in it, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, this
so
is
you don't have to really
tenant.
Worry about vacancy, I guess.
That's it. So this is a solid tenant. So I'm going to pull out 10% for the occasional repair. 600 times 80%, net rents to you, 480 times 12 months, net annual 5760 divided by 45,000, 12.8 cap. Can you sell that?
12.8? That's better than 11.2, yeah.
Absolutely, because that's pushing 13.
Yeah.
Just under a 13 cap is how you're going to word that. You're not going to say 12.8, right? We're in sales here.
Right. Right.
That's honest. It's just under 13, 12.8, based on correct math. Here's the
right.
thing. We usually pull out another 10% for vacancies, but this is a 7-year tenant that wants to stay. So here's what you're buying. 10% to the
right.
property manager, 10% for the occasional repairs. But I'll tell you, in the past, tenants taking great care of the property. So we're still being conservative at 80% of your $600, and this is just under a 13 cap. Those numbers work for you all day, don't they?
Yeah.
So this is why we have to know the numbers, and you got to tell the story, because this is just reality. Oh, crap, it's not exactly what I thought. Okay, wait a minute. Let me go to the numbers. Can we still tell the story on this thing so that it's compelling? Absolutely. That's how you do it.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, great example.
Well,
great example, by the way. That's a real world, right? This is the point of office hours, obviously. Real world example. Holy smokes, what do I do? Just go
right.
back.
Well, this one,
just go back to the numbers.
This one, I'm not. This one has been good because, you know, I mean, I made this into a deal that wouldn't normally even be a deal unless I asked the right questions
right.
and realized that the numbers were good, and then
that's
now
sweet.
I'm fashioning it with this guy. Now, this guy, the owner, the current owner, is okay with me. It sounds like if I need to extend, he's okay with it.
Yeah.
He's
in a great spot here. You have no money in the game. You've got a property that you can sell if you can find a buyer, and if you can't sell it, so what? And then you're going to learn the whole process anyway. So hopefully, learn a bunch and get paid. Worst case scenario, learn a bunch. So this is win across the board. I think this should be win and get paid, right? A 12-8, long-term Section 8 tenant, all day long. So you've got to be texting those Section 8 landlords saying, hey, I saw your ad for rent on Section 8. Are you still buying in the area? Are you still buying? Are you still buying? Are you still buying? You can have a VA do it. You can do it. I don't care who. That's an easy text message for you to tell a VA. Go, right, shoot a quick little video. Here's what I want you to do. Go to this website. Put in these 5 zip codes. Do them one at a time. Text message every person on here and say, are you still buying? Can be really specific. Are you still buying tenant-occupied Section 8 rentals in the area?
Okay, yeah, that's even more specific. Now, I got a question.
Absolutely.
For you, because there's only about 12 or 13 names on the Section 8 website right now. And, of course, that's
go to Craigslist.
Go
there as well and go to – you have to find every property manager in the area. And here's what else you can do. You can go to you can talk to real estate agents. And go to agents, and if you don't know anybody, you can do Google search real estate agents in your city that work with investors. Or you can call your big offices, REMAX, Keller Williams, whoever's out there, a floor person, a newbie agent, 9 times out of 10, working the floor, trying to hustle up a deal, is going to answer the phone. And you're going to say, hey, my name's Tom. I'm a real estate investor in the area. Who in your office has the reputation for working with landlord real estate investors? That they know that they either are a landlord themselves or bring up Section 8 or whatever and say, I need to talk to that agent. Who is that in your office? You know, you're just going right through them because you know it's not them. Because top agents don't answer the phone, right? So who is that? And when a new agent comes into an office, just like when any of us go to work at any job, in 7 days, the first week, we already know who does what, who's top dog, who's running the show, who specializes in this, because it's a break room conversation. So they already know. And they'll refer you to the agent, and you say, hey, here's how I found you. So-and-so answered the phone. I just said, who in your office works with investors? Bam, I've got a Section 8 tenant-occupied long-term tenant deal. It's just under a 13 cap, doesn't need any work. Owner just wants out. Who do you know that's looking to buy cash flow at these percentages?
Okay.
And you can either pay their fee or you ask them, I'm selling it for $45,000. Now, that's going to affect the return a little bit if they have to mark it up. But you can either agree to pay them, and maybe the numbers still work. In this case, they probably don't. Or what you would do is add your fee to take it to your buyers on top of my price of $45,000. So that's going to change the return a little bit, but you're still going to be north of 10. And Tom, there are buyers that'll buy 8 all day long. There are buyers that'll probably buy 6. They're not going to be as common, but they're out there.
Right.
I mean, 6% compared to your bank paying you 0.000 whatever they pay, is still looking pretty attractive, right?
No, but I got another question.
Yeah.
In your experience, have you found a way to find a list of all the Section 8 landlords in a city? Not just the ones currently but like, the larger picture.
Yeah.
Because that opens the thing. Now you're talking thousands, right?
I don't know where that would get recorded, and maybe somebody on here knows. I don't know of a place to go for that, because the thing is, it's not going to be public record. They don't care who you rent it to, whether it's a traditional tenant or a Section 8. That's just where the money's coming from. You know, maybe maybe the government has some kind of site. I haven't heard of it, if there is. But maybe somebody on here knows.
I might spend half an hour seeing if I can call Section 8 in it.
And you still, you got to get an ad in, you got to get an ad in Craigslist too.
Yeah.
Section 8 contract for sale. 12.8 cap, this zip code. Just tell them, right? You just have the contract. I don't own the property. I have a contract for sale. Throw them some numbers and have them call you for details. I always like to go to the phone call because then you can tell the story.
Right.
The story's what's going
to sell. I didn't do it this earlier because it was Christmas time and everything else, and then I was going to be away skiing, and then when this came up about the change in it, I didn't want to put the wrong percentage in there. I didn't want to put that in. So now I know I've got a better idea.
Yeah, you're still – that's still a sellable deal for sure.
Yeah, all right.
For sure. Anything else?
That's it for me.
All right, who else? Tom didn't just go skiing, by the way. He went skiing in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So just in case anybody's wondering, he went to the premier ski one of the premier ski destinations in North America.
Steep.
I heard, I can't verify, but I heard he backflipped into Corbett's couloir, but that's still to be
proven. Who told you that, man?
Yeah. All right, who else?
Hey, this is Larry Allen.
Larry, what's going on?
Not much, man. I was on vacation last week, but I'm back, and my acquisitions guy didn't do anything while I was gone, and I kind of waited him out. I wanted to see if he was going to respond before I had to prod him, and he didn't. So I hit him today to let him know that I was going to be calling along with him. I think we're at a place, like I'm not going to fire him just yet because I think he can do the job, but I think that I'm going to have to motivate him by doing his job and showing him, and the money that I would have paid him, I'm going to keep it and just show him that, hey, if you do what I told you to do, then you would have gotten paid this.
I've got some different input on that. If you go forward with that, this is the shortest leash you've ever given somebody. And the reason I say that is because when you get a person in there that's hungry and that sees it, maybe they just don't see it. I'm trying to figure out how to word this.
He started out well.
Okay. If you feel like, and obviously your gut's telling you that this is the right play, then I want you to go with it. But I want this person on a short leash.
Yeah.
To not be motivated and to have to motivate them, something's missing. And I'm only speaking from, I think I got a pretty unique find in Chris. I haven't had to motivate him an ounce. He just said, I see the dollar signs. I see the leads. Let's rock and roll. So
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt only because of because I feel like I skewed him a little bit with the one of my bird dogs gave me some trashy leads, and he processed about 80 of those leads, and he didn't verbally, he told me he was fine and he's used to this, but you know, he's performing differently now, and I gave him the postal service vacant leads that he hasn't touched. Because I was hoping that would be a higher quality lead than the particular bird dog that I gave him. But then on top of that, though, I can't have myself hostage to these phone salespeople when I do have some bandwidth. I just don't have as much bandwidth as they have.
Yeah.
So I'm taking that back along with them.
I get it. One more chance, and it's not a very long chance.
I agree. This is his last week, and this is not the first time I've had a question about him, which is probably going to cement it for you. But my backup guy was supposed to start today. I was going to make him dispositions, but based off the last office hours I was on, I'm going to also make him acquisitions. I did that because the same guy had personal issues before, and but after he started making calls, he was good. So he's not good again, but his backup is a he sits in model homes and he closes their deals, and his closing fell through, and he can't get his commission until they close, so he needed another week before he could start. So that delayed him from today. So I'm going to, even after he starts, I'm still going to do both of their jobs, because I'm starting to feel like I don't want to use it. I'm feeling like I'm using that as a crutch to not get this part done, and I know how to do it, so I'm just going to do it.
Yep.
And yeah, but it's not
where
the intent to keep doing it. Exactly.
That's part of being an owner.
It'll give me more confidence, too, to say I know that, because, you know, I haven't done anything in this new market before, so once I do stuff in this new market, then my tune changes. So, So I'm going to kick butt for them, and I'll fire them if they can't keep up with me.
Okay.
And I do feel comfortable about the hiring process now that I've hired them, even though they're not performing yet.
Cool.
And I see that you guys have the recorded numbers on here now, so that's working out for me. I sent you an email just now about El Paso numbers. I was trying to add a separate number.
Okay.
A separate number for me so that I don't have to – so I can keep their numbers separate from my calls. But
okay.
But take a look at that and let me know what you think. But regardless, I'm on the phone. I'm doing acquisitions and dispositions on the phone. I'm doing everything again, but it's not because I don't know how to delegate it. You know, this training has taught me how to delegate it, and I'm set up to delegate it. So now, go ahead.
As owner, you're going to wear hats, right? We talk about it a lot on here. You're going to wear the different hats from time to time as you go through transition. And the thing about any business, personnel change, that's reality. That just is what it is, right? You know, Chris had the same thing. He moved out here from Florida, had a previous job. That previous job was supposed to pay him residual income. So when I told him, you're going to get on the phone, we're not going to pay you until the deal's closed, that's going to be, you know, worst case 30 days down the road, he goes, yeah, that's fine. But 10 days in, he shoots me a text, hey, man, they're trying to pull my residual, got to fly to Florida. We had just started to get things kicking, and he was gone for 2 weeks trying to figure that out. Hired an attorney, mess. Now he's back. We're getting our momentum back, but that's just called life. That's called reality. Things happen to people. So we just roll with it. That's just how it's going to work. That's business. And that's any business, right? Things happen. Roll with the punches. This is one of the advantages to, more than one salespeople. Things like this happen. Now, you have to have the lead gen to support them. If you don't feel like you're there yet, right, let's get to one before we get to two. That's okay. But this is why you want to run, you know, with multiple numbers. You can't have one VA because something can happen to one VA, and then what? Now you're out of luck. A lot of times we're hiring VAs in other countries, and other countries don't have as reliable internet as we do. So it'll go down for I've had VAs check in and say, hey, internet's been down for 4 days. Sorry, nothing I can do. I mean, what do you do about that? That's just technology. So that personnel game is not going away.
Gotcha.
So we get backup in place. We have more than one salesperson eventually, more than one VA. Can't have just one bird dog, that kind of thing, right? Got to manage all that stuff. Larry, you know, good stuff. Like you said, hit the phone for a little bit. Because, when you start tying up deals, you're going to tell them, I know these leads work. I'm talking to three people right now. So
I'm also also want to queue up my home market now that I have El Paso already loaded, and I'm going to be calling for them. But I'm having people still call me in my home market for properties, and I haven't done any of these any of this lead gen in my home market. So I want to queue that up and mix that in with my calls. That's with or without these guys. Like if these guys perform, then I'll let them fire me. If they don't perform, then I'll fire them. But
okay.
But I'm starting to see beyond this first market, even though I haven't gotten a contract in this first market, but it's not because I'm not trying. But now I'm about to actually do it.
I agree. Yeah, once you see the recipe, and you've got two people on acquisition, so ideally get them both back fired up, motivated, and if you're going to put one in each market or however you want to handle that,
okay,
fired up. Yeah, you guys, everybody, you have to be thinking that you're going to be in multiple markets. And I did a FreedomSoft lab training on this, but here's the concept. Let's say you want to close 5 deals a month. That's your goal. 5 deals at, let's do easy math, $6,000, $30,000 a month gross. You want to do 5. If you're in one market, 100% of the pressure to find 5 deals sits on that market. As soon as you go to 2, you just split it in half. Now you only need 2.5 from one and 2.5 from the other. Clearly, it's going to be 3 and 2, right? But you see what I'm saying? If your goal is the same, you just split up. Okay, now I can pull deals from 2 different markets. Is it easier to get 5 deals done in a market or 3 each month? 3, of course. You can cherry pick. Same goal if you go to 3 markets. You split it up again. Now you only have a third of the pressure on each market, right? Now, some of you are thinking, I'm going to do 5 per market. Okay, great. That puts the pressure on each market to perform, but you want to be going wide, because at the end of the day, if you want to do 10 a month and you're in 3 markets, you don't really care if you do 3, 3, and 3, if you do 8 in one, 2 in another, and 0 in a market that month, so be it. You still hit your 10, right? So you've got to be thinking that you're at least going to go to 2 or 3, my opinion. So, you know, you pick a good market. Can you do plenty of business there? Absolutely. Right? But just, this is why we teach this, so that you can go wide. Great way to go. Also, if your markets change, right, you know how to just say, hey, landscape's changing around here. It's harder to find deals than it was 6 months ago. Let me run some math. Let me grab some P ratios. And I'm going to go fire up this one. I think this one's a little easier to cherry pick some deals out of. So, again, owner of the business, right? Always got to always be thinking this way on these decisions. So, Larry, obviously this is all good stuff. This is reality, right? This is called business. Just things are going to happen, and, you know, that's why we talk about it. It is about the how-tos, the what-to-dos to get a real estate, to generate leads, make an offer, that kind of stuff. Of course it's about that. But once we get that out of the way, even more so, it's about running a business. So, like I always say, we're going to have both conversations on this call.
Yeah, I'm not going to let them
absolutely talk about the how-tos, and we'll absolutely talk about the business side of it, because they're both a reality. You have to know both. Yeah. To know one without the other, if you only know the how-tos, you create a job. Right? That's
right.
The other option. If you want a job, don't worry about bringing on anybody or having any of these personnel conversations. You just do everything, and that'll be your system. It'll be called You Do It All. So, not a great option, of course.
I'm not going to let them wreck my January.
That's right. Yeah, the business needs what it needs. So if you've got to wear that hat for a little bit, you wear it, and I know you're prepared to do so. You just said you were, and so that'll keep this thing moving forward. What else?
I'm good.
I thought you said you were on vacation, because we were talking about you a couple weeks ago. I thought Clemson lost and you went into a deep depression. Honestly, I thought that's what happened to you.
Hey, in our rebuilding year, we won the conference and we made it to the playoffs, so I'm fine with that.
Okay, good. All right, so good. So it was vacation instead.
Right. Yeah, I was in Vegas. I was in Vegas for New Year's, and I was in California. I actually flew through Denver. On the way back.
Oh,
I just
nice.
Got back here Sunday morning.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. Vegas for New Year's. I'm sure that's a conversation for a different call. So.
Oh, man, it was fun.
I bet. Who else?
What's up, Mike? This is Ryan.
Hey, Ryan, what's happening?
Nothing much. All right, so I'm kind of where I'm at right now is I got, like I said last week, I got a phone salesperson started. He was only really able to get started. He really kind of started this weekend where he really got started. He made, looked like he made about 35 calls. It looked like he just did that from one day. It looked like he did that Saturday. And then when I spoke with him about it, he said a lot of those numbers that he found were weren't able to get in touch with anyone. He did talk to a few people, and it looked like it may be like one or two that may be worth, taking a look at. But he's doing a decent job. I'm kind of like in a similar place with Larry. I'm going to kind of see how this week goes, and, because I don't want to have to really, push these guys as far as like having to motivate them and check on them every day. I want to just be able to come in and see that, today he made, 35 or 50 calls or whatever. But I want to see that consistently. So I'm going to give him this week, but I am at the same time, like I said, I'm going to give him this week and see how he does. But at the same time, I'm interviewing a couple other people, and I'll probably get someone else started too, just to have a backup plan, because I really want to get two out there anyway. To kind of get started and kind of see how that goes. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. As far as I also just hired another VA today to do some skip tracing. I actually found one at a really good rate. He has TLO and he has LexisNexis, and he charges $25 per 100 leads.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm gonna definitely work with him. He said, he works with a couple other guys that he has on his team. He said he can do like 1,000 a day, because he has a couple other guys that works for him too. So
yeah,
I'm running through a trial with him currently, and I'm gonna see how he do and test those leads out that I get back from him. So I'm hoping that goes well. I wanted to ask you, Mike,
I was going to say, here's what you all should be doing. On your lead details, so you go into custom fields in FreedomSoft and create a custom drop-down and put in your different skip tracers' names in there and tell them, after you skip trace a lead, select your name from the drop-down and save it. Because when they do that, first of all, if they see other skip tracers' names in there, they know that they're not the only game in town. Right? Puts a little pressure on them to do well. And you can track, hey, the leads from so-and-so aren't doing very well, but the leads that this person skip traced are doing really well. And if you don't know who skip traced it, you don't know, there's nothing to track. You just have phone numbers. You have no idea where they come from. So I do two custom fields. One has the skip tracer's name, and the other has the skip tracing service. So I did a little custom drop-down, TLO, LexisNexis, other. Something like that.
Okay,
I think that's what I built in there. So that way, not only do you know who did it, but you know what service. So if none of the numbers are good, and they change the status to no good numbers, re-skip trace, then you can look in there and say, okay, we skip traced it through Lexis. We got to try something else this time around to try and get that data. All right, and that's just lead organization. But I recommend those two drop downs or custom drop downs in your custom fields. All right.
So, okay, so one for the service that they're using and then one for their name.
You got it.
And where does that go, Mike? Where?
You just create a custom field for it. So I created, on the customs fields page, I created a new section called Skip Trace Data. That's what I did. And it's got the numbers that they found. It has a field for that. It has a field for the errors numbers. And then it has those two drop downs, Skip Tracer. And I put their numbers in there. Don't make them type it in every time. Just put your different VAs in the custom drop-down. They can just select their name. And then skip trace service used. So it adds, 3 seconds onto their deal. Copy and paste the numbers in. Select their name from the drop-down. Select the skip tracing service. Save the lead. Move on to the next one.
That's all on the seller lead section, right near the top.
Yeah, you just do it, and you just use custom fields to set that up.
Yeah, I get it. Cool.
Yep.
Great idea.
Yeah, that way you can track it, right? If you don't know, there's nothing to track. So you're
exactly.
going to come across, or I made a guy the other day, I said, send me a screenshot when you're logged into LexisNexis, because anybody could tell me they have it. Mm-hmm. And what am I going to fly to the Philippines to check? No.
Right, yeah.
So I was just kind of curious, and I said, hey, I'll send you your FreedomSoft login. Shoot me a screenshot when you're logged into LexisNexis so I can make sure you have it. Somebody else tried to pull a fast one on me a week ago. So he fired back a screenshot. So just another, you know, I usually am not the skeptic, but I thought, well, I mean, what would be the big deal if somebody was using, you know, PeopleSmart or White Pages Premium telling me they have Lexis access? I mean, how would I really know if they said they had it? So anyway,
right. Yeah,
I had a screenshot. So
if
you get suspicious. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely add those. But that's where I'm at with that.
Okay.
The property that I have under contract currently is going to be closing Friday.
Nice.
So my buyer came in today. I actually met up with him earlier today, and he actually went into the title company to sign his paperwork. And the seller is going to be going in Friday morning, so I should have a wire at some point Friday. So that's really
good.
Good
stuff. What are you making on this one?
I make $7,500 on this one.
Love it. You're buying dinner then Friday? We all show up?
Hey, man, you guys show up, I'm buying.
Just kidding. That's awesome.
I'm pretty sure you guys want to show up, so that's why I kind of
I'm pretty sure you won't take me up on it. Yeah, good stuff.
Cool. Other than that, I also locked up another one last night here in my local market. It's a two one, right around 900 square feet. It'll rent for like $650.
Okay.
Probably needs about $12K worth of work. And I'm in it for $11,000. I probably plan to sell it somewhere around $16,500.
Okay, so let's run some numbers. So you want to sell it for what? $16,500?
Yep.
And it needs 12?
Yep, it needs about 12.
Okay. So $28,500. Call it $30,000. Somebody's all in, right? And what does it rent for?
About $650.
$650 times 70%. $455 a month net times 12. 5460 divided by 30,000. Do you know what that cap rate is?
Let me see.
18.2.
Should be 18, yeah, somewhere around there.
Call it 14 cap and charge more.
Yes, it's a really decent deal.
You have some room, I would say. Hey, here's the thing. If you want to turn a good check, you could argue your point either way. I'm gonna bring a killer deal to the market and meet 10 buyers. I'm only going to sell it to one, but I'm going to use this thing to show 10 other legit buyers what I bring to the table for future deals. I could be talked into that plan, or I could be talked into, I'm going to sell this thing for more because it's there.
Right.
Yeah,
this would be a great opportunity to do that, yeah. And it's really good because most of the systems are pretty much updated. Roof is less than 5 years old. Sign is pretty new. I think the oldest thing on it right now is probably just the furnace, so they'll probably have to replace that. And the rest of it is just strictly cosmetic. So it's in a really good rental area. So, yeah, I'm going to definitely put it out there and, you know, try to network off of it and see if I can, you know, meet some new guys.
Here's the thing on this one. That one's so strong that you can probably make more and show buyers what kind of deals you bring and do both. I mean, move it at like a 15 cap and just run the numbers on that. So, yeah,
right.
It seems that's
a multiple
deal.
How would you approach that, you know, showing that to new, I mean, using that as a piece to show to, you know, to some potential new buyers? I mean, where you just kind of...
I would tell the story just like that. Here's what it's going to rent for. Here's the price I'm asking. It needs 12, so that means you're all in it. Well, here, let's work the math the other way, because this is the stuff that you that everybody needs to be familiar with. So you say, okay, it's an 18.2 cap at your current numbers. You want to sell it at a 15. So what was it, $650 a month rent?
Yep.
Okay, $650 times 70%, $455 times 12. So net annual rent, $5,460. $5,460. We just ran numbers. It was an 18.2, and you say, what? I want to sell it at a 15 cap. So take that 5,460 divided by 0.15, 36.4. So you're selling it at 36,000. Well, what you're doing is, if it needs 12, 36,000 minus 12,000 is 24.4. You're probably, there's a little bit in closing costs, so you're probably selling it around 22.
Yeah.
So you're talking to me, the seller, say, hey, Mike, here's the deal on this thing. Your buy price, 22 grand, only needs 12, and you're telling the story. Needs a new furnace, the rest is cosmetic. House is in decent shape, great little neighborhood, roof is less than 10 years old, that's not going to give you any issues. Bam, bam, bam. Your buy price, 22,000, then it needs 12. And then, so you can run my math for me. So here's what it looks like. 22,000 plus 12,000. Let's throw on $1,500 for closing costs. So that was $34,000. So plus $1,500, we're at $35,500, right?
Yep.
And then you say rents for $650. Let's be really conservative and take out 30%. All right, 10% for property management, 10% vacancies, 10% repairs. So times 70%, your net monthly rents will be $455. Multiply that times your first year, so times 12 months is 5460 divided by 35,500, 15.4% first year return with those numbers. And I know that's right up your alley, so let's lock this thing up.
Absolutely. Okay.
So, all right?
All right.
You don't have to be a mathematician, but you got to know those formulas inside and out. It does a couple things. One, it does a lot of things. For one, when you can run that live time with a seller, you have credibility. This person knows what they're talking about immediately, just like that, even if you've never talked to them before.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is it helps you set your price and your story, right? Like in this scenario, you're thinking about, man, if I get paid, get it for 11, get, you know, $6,500 for it, that's a great little payday, which I agree. Move it at this. And then, so then you start running the math. Wow, an 18 cap, that is smoking. I think a 15 is still a smoking deal. So what does that price look like? Well, just go back to the math. And then it's right there. So now, you know, it helps you make better decisions on, first of all, what you can pay for, what should I offer? Secondly, what do I think I can sell it for, right? So that's the math in Module 2 that you've just got to know forwards and back. And it's not tough math. You just have to know it. So,
yeah.
You know, Some of us like math in school. Some of us hated it. Regardless, we have to know how to run those simple numbers.
Right.
Hey, let me ask you this. $7,500 on Friday, how much total time do you have in that deal, would you say?
Total time?
Yep.
I went and looked at it once. I mean, probably maybe from looking at it and talking to my buyer, maybe 2 hours maybe.
I don't have to do the math on that. $7,500 divided by a couple hours. You've had to wait a couple weeks for it, but that's the beauty.
Yeah,
of it.
Right. I had to wait a couple weeks, but I mean, this was
tasty.
Quick one.
That's brain surgeon money.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was a quick one. This was actually one of my quicker ones. I mean, like I said, the buyer that I'm working with, he's, you know, he even mentioned to me that he's, you know, starting to trust me and stuff like that. So. You know, he'll be looking to move a little bit faster on them, you know, if I've been sending them, you know, these good deals. So,
hey, let me tell you guys this. We don't want to, when you have a deal like that, like your one that you just sold, Ryan, and this other one coming up, even after you had a buyer, if that ad were to run on Craigslist for a little bit longer to drum up a few more, I wouldn't be against that. You know what? Man, you missed me by just a couple hours. I just haven't pulled the ad down yet, but that one went under contract. Obviously, that was a smoking deal. So tell me, if I bring another one to the table like that, you're interested? right?
You're right, yep.
So milk these things for all you can when you have a great deal tied up like that. Meet as many buyers as you can. Hey, man, you just missed out on this one. But is it, you know, is that your flavor? Because I tie up deals like this all the time. So I get another one like this, and you want first shot at it, right? So use those deals even after they're under contract. If you have an ad online or some marketing out there, don't pull it down. Let it run. It's no different than if you're a landlord and you have a great rental on the market, and you have, you know, you have maybe 12 people want a house, and you start qualifying them, put the top one in it, grab, you know, options 2, 3, and 4, and hang on to them. Just say, hey, I've got more coming, right? You're interested in properties like this? Let me keep you in the loop. So, yeah, milk
Absolutely.
Those things for as many buyers as you can find.
Absolutely. Okay. Cool. Yep, I'll definitely take that, and I'll, you know, try to crank it up a little bit with this last property.
Cool.
Definitely. Other question I had was, as far as lead generation is concerned, what are you – I know the vacant leads thing is the main thing, but is that usually the only you know, lead source that you're using is the vacant leads? And, I mean, do you ever, like, pull different lists and then have those lists skip traced and then try to call them based on that?
You know, I'll tell you what Rob does. I'm all vacants right now. That's what I'm doing. Rob loves to go to direct mail, right? And we can have that conversation. He always kickstarts with vacants, always, always, always. He likes to go to direct mail. And then there's a strategy taught in FreedomSoft. And we've talked about it on here before, but if you go to the classroom, there's a 4-video series, and they're all short, right at the top of the classroom page in FreedomSoft. It's in the middle of that top section called Built-in SMS Text and Voicemail System. So it'll show you how to grab a phone number, which some of you have done, tie the phone number to a campaign. A lot of you have done that. And then grab your VA. Rob has – this is probably a different VA than your Skip Tracer. This is somebody you're going to pay $4 an hour because this is mindless. I was just telling Tom about it. Have a VA send out text messages for you. And Rob has a VA for an hour Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Go into online in the different markets he tells him. He goes into GoSection8.com and the Craigslist for rent section, and he grabs the phone number, takes it back into that FreedomSoft campaign. He just does a copy-paste, types in, hey, I saw your ad on Craigslist, so GoSection8, comma. You wouldn't be interested in selling, would you? Send. And he fires out a text to everyone he can find. And some of those sellers, right, he's always leading with the sell question because you know that they have a vacant rental because the property's on GoSection8.com or listed for rent in Craigslist. So, again, it's vacant real estate. It's just another way to go at it.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't be interested in selling with you. We know it's vacant. They'll say yes or no. If they say yes, it goes to the sales team for a conversation. If they say no, the VA knows to just follow up, and they say, thanks for your reply. Are you still buying rental property in the area by chance? ? So lead with the sell. If yes, talk to them about the, you know, about the potential deal. If they say no, try and put them on your buyer's list.
Okay. Yeah, and I have been doing some of that. I remember you did one of those in those labs. So I have been doing some of that for the buyers. I've been going out to, you know, Craigslist and Zillow and sending those text messages. So I've been getting some pretty good replies from that. And I think I've added one buyer since I've been doing it. But it definitely works really well as far as responses. And the main reason I was asking that is because I have, like, I bought it, like, a while ago, probably about six months ago, I bought a subscription to Rebo Gateway, and they have a lot of different leads in there. And that's why I was asking, I mean, do you ever, like, pull a list and then have it skip trace and then have, you know, those numbers called, or how do you feel about that?
You could. I don't have access to that, so I don't. But, yeah, I mean, take what you apply here and expand about it. If you have questions on any of that stuff, ask. But, yeah, absolutely. I mean, lead gen, okay. Right, remember back to the orientation call that we all did. The base of that triangle of the foundation of this whole thing is generating leads.
Right.
So lead gen is the name of the game. So absolutely.
Okay.
Kickstart it with
yeah.
vacants. Keep the vacants going because they're good, right? There isn't really a better lead category than vacants. And Rob's tried everything over the years. When he launches a market, he always starts with that, right? Just same
right.
thing we teach. Always, yep. always, always. Highest likelihood that the seller's motivated to sell. Property's been sitting there. Vacant real estate costs money. All there is to it.
Absolutely.
Even if it's paid for, it costs money. Right? You have to
Absolutely.
Mow the grass. There's some level of maintenance and property taxes due every year. So it costs money. That's all there's to it. So that's why we start there. But, yeah, you will expand into other things, absolutely.
Okay, definitely.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, so I was always going to, you know, keep the focus on, you know, definitely trying to bring in the vacant leads via the bird dogs. But, you know, I got this other tool that's out there that, you know, has, you know, empty nesters and, different categories such as that I can pull the list from in different areas.
Yep.
So I've already loaded one, and it's about 500 leads. And this was actually another list that I actually direct mailed before, and I got like a 6% response rate on it. So, you know, if I have that, I'm going to get some of those leads skip traced and, you know, have my phone salesperson to call some of those also.
Perfect. Yeah, that's the thing is, I'm telling you, everybody, and the thing about it, everybody goes, I shouldn't say everybody, the serious investors go to direct mail. That's what everybody does. Very, very, very few skip, trace, and call. And the thing about it is direct mail still works, but there's something about a phone call, and you get a good salesperson on, and they can connect with somebody, and they talk about their life a little bit, tell me about the property, why are you looking to sell it? And if you just have a conversation, the postcard is impersonal. The phone call is personal. And people want to sell and do business with people they know, like, and trust. And it's hard to build that, nearly impossible, through a postcard. And postcards still work, right?
Yep.
But there's something about the phone call.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I was talking to a lady today. We've got her house under contract. She's calling me. You know, I told her, I said, as soon as title comes back, I'll update you with what it is. And I told her last week on Tuesday, it's probably going to take 4 to 6 days to get it back. She dials me up today. Hey, Mike, any feedback? I mean, we are solving her problem. We have a great relationship. We're chit-chatting a little bit about life. She's comfortable selling to us. We're comfortable buying from her. That all started because of a good first conversation.
Absolutely.
So,
yep.
It's just a unique approach. That's all.
Yep. I'm going to definitely think I'm going to take the approach. I really like the skip tracing the leads, especially if you have access to lists and stuff like that, and you can pull and pay for it for the skip tracing. It's much cheaper than, you know, your per lead cost for millers that you send out and you only get, you know, a 2-3% response on. So.
Right. Yeah, it's effective. Absolutely. Take what you all learned here in our conversation and all that and apply it. Now, if you're still wondering, okay, do I need to be doing direct mail? No. I want everybody's focus to be on vacant leads. When you get things moving, we're having a conversation about, right, some of you have, right, we have a lot of different levels of experience on the phone. Don't go chasing any rabbits or think you need to sign up for the same service, that kind of thing. Stay focused on the vacants. Some of you are at a place where you have the means to, the time, whatever, to add something else in. Great. Knock yourself out. But I want vacant still to be the primary focus. So if anybody's wondering if they should start looking at something else, no. I just want to be clear. So, yeah, good stuff. Anything else?
Nope, that's it, Mike.
Okay. Plus.
It's Mike. Jay Race here. How you doing, bud?
Hey, good, Mike. How are you?
Good. So I did get that VA hired on Friday. Skip trace those leads. Got them back. He did a fairly quick job getting them turned around. Didn't add more than just one number. He just used my spreadsheet I sent him. and added one number. Is that typical, or do you normally try
to
get them
to... No, you want every relevant number they can find. Yeah, you're probably going to have them redone, would be my thought. And I don't know, what you mentioned something about a spreadsheet. You want them to save those numbers directly into FreedomSoft so you don't have to redo an import. So your VA needs user access to your FreedomSoft account so that they can save the leads right there. And you don't, otherwise, you're going to have leads created by the bird dog. Then they're working off a spreadsheet. Then you're going to try and import those leads, and you're going to have duplicates, and it's all going to get fuzzy. So
you got to follow the
steps in the coaching center exactly how it shows. Get that VA in your FreedomSoft account, and you want, to answer your question, you want every number that seems relevant from the skip trace source. Now, TLO, if they have TLO, and I've never used it, I've just heard about I've talked to people that have it. And it will give you a percent accuracy next to each phone number. So TLO rocks this way. It'll say, you know, this number, we're 68% sure this is the right one. This number, 42, this number, 28, this number, 4% chance that it's the right one. So if they have TLO and that's they're grabbing the top number, it's probably a decent number. However, you want all of them. And you want heirs' numbers, especially spouses. Because a lot of times you're not going to get a hold of the homeowner, but you're going to get a hold of somebody else will answer. And, you know, your salesperson, you or your salesperson will say, hey, I'm just trying to get a hold of so-and-so about a property they owned. Do you have a good number for them? Something like that, right? That's how skip tracing works. So
sounds good. All right. So
you're going to need to have those redone.
Made it. Ton of calls today, just getting back in touch with the bird dogs. And again, I talked to five or six of them. I've got five of them supposedly actively going to get out there, but apparently their secondary roads are still really rough from the 12 to 14 inches of snow they got. And
so they're kind of
in meltdown mode right now. But they're all saying that the weather's supposed to clear up and they should be able to start getting back out there. I had some of them out today trying to get out and had a little bit of luck, but not a lot.
Hey, so do this. You could pull real quick. You could pull some vacants in FreedomSoft from the Postal Service ones. Have your skip tracer line them up real quick and start calling those. I mean, you can't do anything about 14 inches of snow out east, especially if it's in a market that doesn't get a ton of snow. It'll shut everything down. I mean, people will panic with a half inch, right?
Well, it's like we get a 4-foot storm here in Denver. That's kind of what they're up against right now.
Right. Yeah. That's part of it, right? I mean, if you're working in Houston and the hurricane hits, well, what are you going to do? So be it. Plan B, right? Let's get creative here. My bird dogs are going to be locked down for a couple of days. Nothing we can do about it. Let me go pull some vacants really quick from the Postal Service, have them skip trace, and I can still be on the phone. They're not going to be as good. As soon as your bird dogs are driving, go back to the field leads, but keeps things moving.
Okay.
So I did
point out to them that there will be some opportunity to really spot vacants because with the storm, and they'll be able to see properties that haven't been shoveled or no footprints going in and out of the front door. So
it should be
a lot easier to spot vacants right down those areas once they get back out there.
Yeah, really perceptive. It absolutely does. Nothing shoveled, no footprints. Give me that address. That's it.
So I'll definitely get back in touch with the – should I just get back in touch with that same VA and say, hey, because I put it out there, you know, $25, paid them for that.
You're not out of pocket much, even if you pay for it again. So be it. If this person, you know, can be good, say, hey, you know, let's set you up a little bit different. I'm going to get you access to my FreedomSoft account. Go in here. You know, here's where I want you to put the numbers. And then give me, copy and paste every relevant phone number you find. Because it's not uncommon for there to be 6 to 8 numbers. And then our sales guys They put parentheses in all caps this one next to it. So we don't even delete the other numbers. We keep them.
Yep.
And then next to the right one, it says this one. And that's the one that we know gets us to the right person. So, yep.
And they're putting them in the notes section underneath there.
You got it. Yep. Yeah. So I created what I was just talking about 15 minutes ago. I created a custom field section called Skip Trace Data. And it has a notes field that's called skip trace number. It says owner of record numbers. And then I created another one that says heirs numbers. And I'm having them park them all right there. If you don't want to mess with custom fields, throw them in the notes, the default notes section or field that's already in your account.
Yeah, I had already done that in mine. I did added a few fields. I added skip tracers notes and then added, two sections and then a drop down, but I didn't go quite to the extent that you went through, so I'll definitely get in there and add.
Yeah, you can follow mine if you want or anything in between, but get every relevant phone number you need from the Skip Tracer.
Okay.
Yep.
And email's not really important, more or less just trying to
tell you
to
what,
get phone
if
number.
They have a service and it parks it right there for them to do a quick copy-paste, I'd have them grab it. I'm not concerned about it. I want the phone number.
Okay.
But, yeah, if it's there, you can create a custom field called owner of record email if you want, or just tell them, grab the numbers, and then if you've got an email address, grab that for me too. So, yeah, good question on that one.
Okay.
Have to have the numbers, email if it's there.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and I called a few of them that he had sent, got some voicemails that I left messages with, and one of them just rang, and I actually called it back again 5 minutes later to see if it was they'd pick up. So it's possible it's a vacant that just, there's nobody in there recently, and they're still hooked up.
Right.
So I'll work on
making sure to follow up on that. Even if you or your salespeople, if nobody answers, or you get a voicemail. So here's the thing is, you're going to call from a number that's not in their phone, right? So there's already one hoop to jump through. Then you're going to, if you leave a voicemail, you can leave a good one. I like to leave, I like voicemails that have a little bit of intrigue to them. And I've talked about it on here before, but something like, hey, Mike, my name's Mike, and I was calling you real quick about a vacant property you own at 123 Main Street. I have an important question for you. Can you call me back quick? And that's it. My number is bam, bam, bam. And leave it. They have an important question to ask me. Or if you guys have something better, that's great. I'm up for a different script on that. But that way, it's not, you don't leave too much info. Talk to them like you've known them for 10 years. Don't use their last name. Don't give them your last name. Hey, Mike, it's Mike. Calling you real quick on a property you own at 123 Main Street. Okay, I've got an important question for you. When you have 2 minutes, give me a shout. Right? We sound like I've known you for 10 years. So that's how you want to be. You can also follow that up. Because sometimes people say, I don't know this person. I'm not calling them back. But almost everybody responds to a text. So shoot them a text. Same thing. Hey, I've got an important question about a property you own at 123 Main Street. Is that thing still vacant? I mean, get a conversation going, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I just left you a voicemail about 123 Main Street. Is that thing still vacant? I'm just curious. And you're most likely going to get a text message back. And if you get a text, there's a good chance you can get it to a conversation. So that's just
the numbers that I did pull had some of them show a landline, and then some of them showing a wireless number. Most of them are a landline, the first line, the number that come up. Very few are showing a cell number.
Yeah, clearly you want to be going to a – well, any wireless, right, if it's not landline, you can shoot a text. I mean, the worst thing that happens is you fire off a text to a landline and it comes back so it can't be delivered. I mean, so what? This is part of tracking people down. So, and if you're on the phone, you've got to be doing it. If your salesperson has to be doing these same things.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So, sounds good. Yeah, I left probably a little bit more of a lengthy message than I needed to. I just told them who I was with, and just wanted to talk to them about a property that they own, and if they call me back, so I might just shorten it up.
So here,
like you said, just make it short and sweet.
Yeah, short and sweet, and you've got to come off like you know them, and don't give them too much information. So what people are going to think, especially if they're getting a bunch of postcards, is greedy investor on the other end of the line. They just want to lowball me a deal. So we're going to come across and say, right, try and bring a different message. Sound friendly, short and sweet. Hey, I've just got, you know, I've got a quick question for you about 123 Main Street. Call me when you have 2 minutes. I have an important question, whatever. And then go to the text message. Is that thing still vacant? Hey, I'm just curious. Is that property still vacant? You haven't said anything about wanting to buy their house.
Okay.
So.
Okay, that sounds good. Just making notes here.
Yep. Yeah, the thing about any kind of initial communication, usually the less is more, from my experience. Don't leave a 3-minute message about who you are and your intentions and blah, blah, blah. Just give them a quick sound bite. Have it scripted. Find, you know, if you want to try a couple different messages, great. Keep track of what you like and then give that to your salesperson if and when you have them. So,
okay.
And if somebody else wants to chime in with a voicemail that they like, that they've used, you know, speak up if you have a good little script. There are multiple that can work, so.
So, yeah, other than that, I'm kind of pushing forward. I'm not going to get frustrated with it. Just staying steady.
That's right.
Leaning into the wind.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you got to push on things, right? Like any business, you just have to lean on it for a while. I mean, you came across a snowstorm. Didn't plan on that. All right, what do we do? Let's improvise a little bit. If there's any hint of any more delay with leads coming in, I want you to pull some vacants from FreedomSoft and get them skip trace so you can get on the phone with some sellers.
This storm, I think, did help with people sitting around on their computers because I had 6 or 7 people actually contact me in the last 2 days on the job posting.
Yeah.
Right.
Nice.
Cool. I did plant 2 more of those people into the system and see if I can get them out here as soon as the roads clear up.
Cool. Yeah, good stuff. Stay on it. You know this. You had to stay on it before too when you were redoing cars. So you just have to lean. And I, you know, sometimes it feels like how much longer? What else do I have to do? Stay to the process. It works. Keep doing it. Keep checking in. Keep generating leads. Keep calling sellers, keep having conversations, right?
Yep.
That's it. Yeah, frustrations, because all of us, right, nobody comes into a coaching program that isn't wanting quick results. If you're not looking for quick results, you don't even consider this, right? So all of us want the quick result. So, you know, frustration it sets in just about with everybody at some point. I don't know if Clark's on. He sent me an email earlier, too, you know, getting a little bit stuck or not moving as fast as he wants to. And I was like, hey, man, I get it. You know, I replied in the email. I said I had to blow through a couple of VAs last week. And I said I don't remember how many times I yelled at my computer screen, you know, with a few exclamation points as I'm typing this back to him. So that, you know, it's part of it, especially when people are involved, right? Count
Absolutely.
On it. If people are involved, count on frustration. How about that?
That's it.
So, and that, you know, that goes with technology too. Nothing runs perfect. This is business. So we take it, you know, keep the foot on the gas. But yeah, you'll go through seasons where you feel like there's all this effort and not much is happening, and then you'll go through seasons where you think, holy cow, I got to slow this thing down. I mean, how do I handle all this? Right? It's going to be both hands. So. Good stuff. Stay the course.
Okay. I'm going to start. Actually, I got an ad I put together. I'm going to post for a salesperson. And like you said, I'm going to put one here in Denver, but then I'm also going to do one in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Yeah,
Salt Lake. He brings that up because Salt Lake is a a hub of phone salespeople. There are, for whatever reason, there are tons and tons of massive sales floors in Salt Lake where there are just hundreds and hundreds of people in a building or a warehouse with cubicles pounding out phone calls. And I never knew that until here within the last couple of years. So, anyway, Salt Lake's a hub. So if you're not having any, if you're not getting any traction in your market with a salesperson ad, try Salt Lake, see what happens. There's an abundance of salespeople there. And that, really, they're all over the place, right? But if you want to go to a plan B, try that. And you can also, you can do Indeed.com. I like going to the sales page in Craigslist. And I've told you all why, right? If somebody's not interested in sales, they don't want to be in sales, they hate sales, they're not even going to click on it. They're going to go click on some other section. So it already weeds out some people that you would then have to weed through if everybody's clicking on your ad, right? Because there are those people that say, ugh, I hate sales, I don't want to do sales, I don't like salespeople. They're not even getting near that section, which is fine by me.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, I'm good.
Anything else, Mike? Okay.
Got me covered. Thank you.
Yeah, good stuff. Who else?
Lee here, Mike.
Hey, Lee, what's going on?
Ah, man, too much of nothing, man. Been busy.
It's good. What's the update? Quick update and any questions?
Nothing. I'm pretty much, I haven't spoken to any buyers yet. I got another VA to actually skip trace some of those buyers' LLCs.
Okay.
So I can speak with them.
Yep.
I think we talked about the property. I ended up locking it up for 17. He wanted 20, but I got him down to 17.
Yep. Nice. What do you think you could sell it for?
I'm gonna try to sell it for 25.
Remind me of the numbers on it. Is it a rental or a flip?
Rental. Rental in the area, 1,100 square feet. Is between 650 and 750, so right around 700.
Okay, how much work does it need? I don't remember the condition.
25.
So it need okay. So you're gonna try and get 25 for it. So let's say I'm your buyer. Buy price 25 needs 25. I'm at 50. Let's call it 52,000 with closing costs. And what is it rent for?
700. So we're looking at 490. You know, after
700 times 70%. Yep, 490 times 12. 5880 divided by 52,000, 11.3% first year return. That's strong. And you've got, at 25, you've got a little room. So, you know, start a little high, and if somebody says, hey, I'll give you 22 or 23 for it, you can still get, you know, get a nice little check. So you've got a little cushion in there.
And the thing with this guy, he actually, I guess he was going to do like a little remodel on himself. So
okay.
He had about 10 grand and like he had cabinets, doors, things like that. Like he had some material that when he was actually going to do it himself. And I had my guy go over there and give me like 25 pictures of the property. I paid him $25. He got me 25 pictures. And they actually had the doors and the brand new cabinets, still had plastic and things like that over.
Ooh, so this, how many square feet did you say the house was?
1,100. Right at 1,100.
So 25, it could be 25, but you've got some materials in there that aren't cheap. So 20, you know, 20 could be a realistic number here too. In which case, your deal just got better, obviously. So
yeah, and I actually were because I guess at one point I guess he actually tried to put it on the market with someone. I don't know. But that's
okay.
And I read that in the details of him because he told me that he had material, and then I guess the agent or whoever posted it up said it was about 10 grand worth of material. So I don't know if it's exactly 10, but you know.
Yeah, that seems like it ought to come off your 25 at some point. So I think you can probably tell the story on this thing with, hey, there's 10 grand of materials in the house. you know, the seller had an intent to remodel it, just never got around to it, but they bought some material. So here's what's in there. The other thing that's kind of interesting about this is you want to make sure those materials don't get stolen between now and closing day, right?
Yeah.
Because vacant houses are vulnerable.
Well, actually, he got the doors boarded up, but behind the boarded up doors are burglar bars and things like that. So he's done a pretty good job of keeping people out.
Okay. All right. That's good. That's good because there's 10 grand worth of stuff sitting in there. So. Yeah, cool. You could have a little thing in the contract though that for part of the. I mean, you can put anything in the contract. So, not only do you have an inspection period right up through closing, but you're going to verify day of closing that all those materials are still on site.
Yeah, I actually when I wrote up my agreement, I actually put that in there.
That was smart.
Material that was coming with the property.
Yeah, because that's 10 grand. I think you can sell this as, here are your numbers, buy it for 25, fix it up for, 18 to 20. You're all in for 45 plus a couple grand in closing costs, call it $1,500. And your 11.2 cap rate probably just went to 12 or 13. And there are $10,000 in materials on site waiting for you to just install sitting there. That's how I'd talk about it.
Got you.
So then 1,100, unless it's destroyed, you can do a lot to a house for 25 grand, and it's only 1,100 square feet. So
actually, to be the exact, is 1,075. So it's the exact number.
Yeah. So in my opinion, you're safe. I mean, I think you can go 15 to 20 on the fix up, and there's 10 grand of stuff sitting there. You can probably go 15 to 18, and there's 10 grand sitting there. So. But that's right. You tell the seller, hey, I don't know how cheap you can get things done, but this looks to me like it's about, 15 to 18,000 for the remodel, and then there's 10 grand of stuff sitting there. So at the end of the day, you end up with a solid little remodel for, right around $15,000. Again, get with your contractor to figure out exacts, but that's a compelling little story.
And that was the thing, because when I called him, he wanted 20. And then I was like, well, hey, probably can't get you 20, but is your price flexible? He kind of went down the store like, yeah, the reason, I said it's flexible. Like, the reason why I wanted 20 is because I had, material in there and things like that. And I was like, yeah, I understand, but running my numbers, man, I could probably do 17. That's my best offer. I don't want to lowball you too much. I want to.
Yep.
He's like, yeah, man. He's like, yeah, we can go with 17. I'm just ready to get rid of it now, man.
Love it. Great question. Is your price flexible? Hey, totally fair question. Just about everybody's price is flexible. If they're motivated, their price is flexible, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, great question. Good stuff. And you're wired that high B. We were talking about this last week.
Yeah.
You're good at sales on the phone. This is why you want to put the right personality on the phone with these leads.
Yeah, I got to get somebody in also.
Strong negotiator like you are, you won't take that first number, right? That's why I partnered with Paul. That's why I partnered with Paul. He's a beast on the phone. He's a great negotiator. And so I let him handle it, and then he trains salespeople on how to do it. Not my strength.
Sometimes I do a little negotiating on the back end also. Like, if I think I can tie it up and I don't want to lose out on a deal, I can get it under contract. Then on the back end, after speaking with my sellers, I go in and be like, hey, I know I said I can get you this number, but, this came up and I was wondering, if you would be flexible on your price and let me get it at this price. Most people, they like, yeah, we already know. They trust me by the end, so they like, yeah, let's go ahead with it.
Yep.
That's where I'm at. Just need to get on the phone with buyers. My VA, he kind of frustrated me a little bit. I don't feel like he's moving fast enough. He got 90% of the my Arkansas lead,
next.
Skip Trace.
Yep.
And my New Orleans leads, he probably got about maybe 20% of those, Skip Trace.
Hey, if they're not, you got to find somebody that's keeping up, right? So you make the right call, either keep them on and add somebody else, or bring somebody else or have a conversation with them and say, you know, I need these done a little bit quicker. So you tell me, I like the work you're doing. Can you handle more volume and get it done on time? Or should I bring in somebody else and split up the work and let them tell you that they have, you know, they may say, no, it's all the time I have, but at least you'll know. But what happens is when you ask that question, you're making them say no to more money because you're going to bring somebody else in. So most of the time, they'll commit. I do the same thing with Bernard.
And that was one of my upfront conversations I had with him. I was like, well, hey, you know,
yeah.
I need about 600 leads, skip trace, within the next, you know, 2-3 days to a week. I said, now, can you do it? I said, because I'm noticing this other guy said he can do 4,000 in a week. Are you capable of doing 600 in a week with the time you have available? And he said, yeah.
Oh,
so actually having to tomorrow to have all of them done. And I'm going to have to pull
the plug. Yeah, you got to shoot him a message tonight that said, hey, you told me that these would be done. Looks like we're a little bit behind. So I need to know if you can make this happen for me. And, you know, see what they say. But, yeah, this is it. You gotta apply some, you know, some pressure from time to time. So, yep.
That's good. And outside of that, in my home market, I have two deals to close at the top of next week. So,
nice.
And that, you know, that's where I'm at.
What are you making on each of those?
Oh, I'm making five on one, and I'm making five on the other. And one of them is land. It's not even a house on it.
Love it. Here's the
I actually made that five in like 30 minutes because it's not like they have to go look at a property.
Exactly. What are you going to do? Yeah, go inspect the weeds, right? The tumbleweeds.
Yeah.
That's it. When you understand how this works and how to generate leads and how to find buyers and flip whatever you want. You know, I wholesaled a deal a couple years ago. I got a line on it. I got a great price on it. I knew a buyer, a good friend of mine. They're a husband and wife team in Denver. They do great fix and flips. I called them up. They're actually in Mexico. So her phone went to voicemail. I shot her an email that said, hey, I've got a smoking deal in Sloan's Lake, which is one of the top neighborhoods in Denver. And I found out she was in Mexico. I said, I know you're Mexico, but if you can carve out a little time, I think you'll be interested. So she Skype calls me from Mexico. We have a conversation. I say, I've got it at 220. Investor price in the neighborhood is right around 250. Here's what you can do to it. Does that number sound fair? And she goes, yeah, we'll take it. And, I mean, this is, you know, I know some people have made a lot more. This is still my personal best. 30 grand and, no, I made 20. We marked it up 20. I mean, 20,000. I there's no way I had 30 minutes in it. Not even a chance. So that stuff happens. And especially when you start to build this reputation with your buyers. So what was I can't remember if it was Ryan earlier was saying, you know, he's got that great deal. We ran the numbers. He's about to sell an 18 cap. Man, maybe you can get it out of 15. Still a smoking deal and use it to show buyers in the area what kind of deals you bring to the table. And that, you know, those deals are coming. Those bigger ones are coming where you have this relationship with people, and that's where it gets sweet. And you just, there's really, you know, when you have a strong buyers list, they know you, you know them, they trust you. Moving deals, the disposition side of this business becomes very simple. And you will, you know, you turn out a good product, bring deals like this, build your reputation, and you'll have people start shooting you messages saying, hey, you have anything else? I need another deal this month. I've got 75,000 to place in the next 2 weeks. Can you help me out? So a couple of the, one of the best months Brad and Rob had, they met a guy out of California. He was selling a deal in California. And he wanted to 1031 it into more real estate, but he wanted it out of Cali. So he had, I think when he got a hold of him, he had 48 hours to declare where he was going to put it, right? And so they said, you know, what kind of amount are we talking about? And he was selling at a California price and then buying at Memphis prices. So I think he bought eight or nine houses in Memphis for the one he sold in California, something like that. And they had the inventory, and they said, yeah, we can help you out. And so they helped him get the paperwork in for the 1031 exchange, identified the addresses. The guy ended up selling all those, bought eight or nine turnkey rentals from them. And they, I mean, they just made, you know, bank that month. They sold deals to other investors too, but they killed it with this one transaction. So, you know, when you get moving, that's the kind of stuff that'll start to happen. You just you get this relationship built with buyers, and you know, they solved the seller's problem. They needed to get rid of properties, and then they got a whole, you know, this 1031 guy. He still had a problem. He said, "Hey, I'm down to 48 hours to declare this money, or I'm paying taxes on it when this thing sells." And they helped solve his problems, both sides, right? So that's why we keep building that buyer's list, because that stuff's coming, and it gets easier. Keep bringing good deals to the table. Meet the legitimate buyers, and disposition becomes almost the easiest part of the business. It really does. You're going to work at it a little bit up front, build that reputation, find the buyers that are serious, but then that part of the business becomes fairly simple over time. So,
see, that's what I want to be good at, you know.
Yeah.
Building buyers. That's my weak spot. Sellers, that's easy to me. But, you know.
You know where it starts? You know where it starts? To generate good leads.
Gotcha.
Good leads turn into good deals. Good, serious buyers will find your good deals. I mean, we'll show you how to do it, but you're going to find them because you're going to be bringing great deals to the table. So you will find them. Do the stuff in the coaching center. You'll find the legit buyers. So
that's good for me, Mike.
Cool. Hey, Rick, anything else quick? I'd like to keep this to 90 minutes. But if there are any other questions, I want to make sure we get everybody covered as well.
Nope. Once again, excellent as always. Thank you.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for being on.
Yep. All right, everybody. Appreciate it, Mike.
Yeah, good stuff. Back to our Monday, Thursday. So we'll chat with you here in a few days. You know, as always, great conversation, a lot of good stuff happening. Keep your feet on the gas. Have a good afternoon, evening, or morning if Dennis is with us. And any questions, get them into that coaching email between now and Thursday.
All right.
Talk soon, everybody.
All right.
Have a good night. Take care.